For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, April the 1st, 1983. Spring Teaching and Deliverance Seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Irma Miller is the teacher of the morning.
I pray for a tornado of the Holy Ghost and fire to hit this building this morning.
We're happy. Amen.
We need the fire of God, don't we? That's what's going to iron out all the wrinkles. Praise God. We have to be without spot or wrinkle. Some people want to fly away today, but I tell you, if the Lord comes today, I don't know how many people would go, because I don't know very many people without spot or wrinkle.
I don't know anybody.
But the Lord is working on His church, isn't He? Praise the Lord. Well, I'm a woman. I guess you all know that by now. And when Glenn told me, when we woke up this morning, he said, well, let's see now, who should we have speak? And I was naming over everybody, and then he said, no, I think you and I should speak this morning. Well, I didn't think much of that, but being an obedient wife, or afraid not to be, so here I am. You know, in 2 Peter, it says, one day is as 1,000 years with the Lord. That's not going to be my subject. This is my little introduction. And we have come almost 6,000 years, haven't we, from Adam until 1983. 4,000 before Jesus and 1983 years since Jesus. We're really on the threshold of the most glorious age that the church has ever known.
Amen.
We're coming into a time that we've never walked this way before, but I like it. I love the power and the moving of the Holy Spirit. I was born in it, saved in 1932. My whole family were saved, my mother, my father, my brother, and I. And my dad received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and for 3 days, we didn't even know what it was. We'd never heard of it before. He prayed in tongues, sang in tongues, went up and down the neighborhood. My mother cried, and he laughed. And we had to get the preacher out to find out what it was he had. We were born in the fire of the Spirit, and we need more. We need more than stammering lips. We need more than a little speaking in tongues once on Sunday. We need it every day. We need the fire and the power of the Holy Ghost, because we're coming into the nature and the image of Jesus Christ. He's coming up in us. Do you realize that? We're no longer 30-fold Christians. 30-fold filled with God's Spirit and 70-fold filled with carnal nature. We're no longer like that. We've come to the 60-fold. We're filled with the Spirit. Not totally filled. We got a few other things in us, too. You wouldn't have to be very logical to see that, what happened last night, what happened this morning. We got things in us that doesn't belong in there. They're not of God. They're from the enemy. Now, that really blew my mind when I first heard about that. It really did. The first time I ever heard of deliverance, I think, was in 1965 or 6. I heard a spirit in Chicago in Derek Prince's meeting. It said, my name is Pride. And it ran up my back, and I ran out of the room. I don't blame some of you for being frightened. It's pretty weird to think there's voices, there's something down inside of you that can speak out of you at times. Isn't that pretty strange? But nevertheless, it was real. And I went upstairs. I ran upstairs, 15 flights up that elevator, ran to my room, took 2 tranquilizers, jumped in bed, covered up my head. And a spirit, but I didn't know it was a spirit. I didn't know anything about spirits. A spirit spoke to me and said, now you're in false doctrine, jump out the window. But I answered it right back, but I thought it was me, you know. I said, no, I'm too smart for that. But I stayed out of those Derek Prince meetings. Every afternoon I could think of how tired I was, how I didn't feel very good, how I had a headache, how I had something. And so I wouldn't have to go in there, because those people were strange. And yet I knew, down within me, I knew it was real. And my mind would go back. What made the deacon, when I was a young girl in early Pentecost, you can't believe what all went on, because we didn't understand about the devil. And we didn't know how to bind him. And you learned by trial and error. But why would the deacon give a message in tongues and interpret on Sunday and beat his wife up on Wednesday? And see, all this happens in the preacher's home, in the parsonage. They all come when they're in trouble. And then all of us kids were sworn to secrecy. We couldn't talk about it. And so inside of my little mind, I would think, what made him do that? And see, I didn't know it was the enemy, but I started catching on little by little. And God is bringing us into a place where we're catching on about the enemy and how he's done to us. What he's done, that makes me angry when I think of all the things he's done to us. It really does. And we're coming into an age of the millennial reign. We're coming into an age that God is bringing us. You're not here by chance today. There's not one soul here by chance. You've been directed here by the Holy Spirit to learn. Now, we don't have everything. My. We don't have a little piece in the pie. But here a little and there a little, we learn. And God brought us marvelously into and under deliverance preachers that I never even knew existed. And we used to think we knew most everybody. We were traveling around with the full gospel, doing their books and tapes, and we saw preachers and teachers. But when Brother Prince came on the scene, he opened up the door in America, and I bless him today for that, because it isn't easy to be a forerunner. It isn't even easy to traipse along behind great men of God and understand everything that the Lord is trying to tell us or do for us. And we have to keep our hearts so open and our minds so open to the things of God. Don't turn it off. Just say, Lord, I don't understand that. When you say to the Lord, I don't understand it, please open it up some other way to me, he will. He'll send people across your path to show you and to teach you. And you will learn as the days go by, and we know so little, really, about deliverance right now. We know so little. We're just learning. We're in skirmishes. We haven't come to the big battle in the heavenlies yet. We're coming into where we're going to have to know Jesus. We're going to have be filled totally with the Holy Spirit. We're going to have to believe totally that the battle is the Lord's, and it is Jesus in us, and how much of the Holy Ghost we've got in us, how successful we're going to be in casting out evil spirits. We're coming into a day of divine health. How many want divine health? Don't you get tired of sicknesses, the illnesses? But we're coming into that day of divine health. And today, there's been people healed in this meeting this morning already. You may not realize it, but as the days go by, you will suddenly realize that you're getting well. The Bible says they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. How long does it take to recover from an operation? Well, they say 6 weeks, 6 months, sometimes a year. But you will start recovering from this day on because of hands being laid on you. I like to have hands laid on me, the right kinds of holy hands with the power of God in them. I like that because it helps me. Daniel said we're going to be strong and we're going to do exploits. Jesus said you're going to do greater works. Now that's a pretty hard saying, isn't it? How are we going to do the greater works? Because of Jesus inside of us. He's growing in us. Well, we could say we have a little tiny seed there. And as we read the word, we feed that seed. And we keep growing and growing and growing into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to turn to Luke 13. And I'm going to read a little bit of the word to you. And I'm going to give you a little bit of my testimony. And then we're going to have a little bit of a fight with the devil. Is everybody ready? That's right. I was upstairs. I didn't get in on all of it, but I came in. And you were praying for this lady down here, and she was up dancing in the spirit. Wasn't that beautiful? I remember right after I got delivered, I was making strawberry preserves. And I was dancing all over my kitchen. I was just having a glorious time with the Lord. The first time I ever got delivered. That wasn't the last time. I'm always getting more deliverance. We had a deliverance service upstairs. I won't go into it. It was just about a month ago or 6 weeks ago. It was really something. And you know, about two nights before, when you were preaching last night, I thought about how when I first come into deliverance, the Lord opened up the Lord's prayer to me, deliver me from all evil. And I used to walk up and down, deliver me, Lord, from all evil. All the bedroom doors, and I'd close up the bathroom doors and the living room doors, and I'd walk up and down that hall, and I'd say, Lord, deliver me from all evil. And I'd cry out. You know, if you cry out, you're going to get delivered. You have to ask him first to be delivered. He's not going to push this on you. If you don't want deliverance, he's not going to give it to you. It's for those who ask. And about a couple months ago, just before this deliverance, one night in my sleep, I was having, I guess, a vision in the night, and the Lord was speaking to me, and he said, you don't ask me to deliver you much anymore. I thought about that the next day, and I thought, well, that's true. And I started every moment, sitting at my desk, every moment I'd think about it, I'd say, Lord Jesus, deliver me some more. You know, you get so much out of you, you think, how can there be one more in there? But that's so carnal to think like that, isn't it? And so proudful to think we're so good. And so I started doing that. I started saying, Lord, deliver me from all evil. And we had a deliverance service upstairs. Now, I'm not going to tell you what I got delivered of because it might hurt your... Well, I don't know what it might do to you. But Glenn is glad. Glenn is so glad I got delivered. Well, I'll tell you. You want to know or not? See, Glenn doesn't drink coffee. And I used to just love coffee. I like to smell it. And there was another thing I liked to smell. And I guess it was from my days of being a supervisor at Lockheed and all the, and RCA and all those fellas smoking vanilla tobacco in their pipes. I loved the smell of vanilla pipe. And I don't know how it started. I really don't. But we were up there and we were praying for a woman. And it was a violent deliverance, a woman that was very ill. And I said, you know, I shouldn't be liking to smell vanilla pipes. That's not right. Out of thin air, I said it. Well, that was the Holy Spirit just prompting me. And so they started praying for me, and I started bringing up. And then I said, now, I really shouldn't be drinking so much coffee because my blood pressure had been going up this winter. And Glenn was always saying, stop drinking that muddy water, and you'll get well. And so I said, and I really do love coffee when it perks. I love to smell it. I said, but I really should stop drinking so much because Patty and I used to make one pot in the morning, and that'd be it, and we would not have it all day. And then we got so we'd make two in the morning, and then we'd be making it in the afternoon, and then we'd be drinking it at night, and that was just too much. Overindulgence is a sin. And so I said, Lord, deliver me from coffee. I didn't really want to get delivered from coffee because I liked it. But I knew I better, so I said, I'm not telling all of you to get rid of your coffee. We're serving it in there, and you can have it. But for me, it was against my husband's wishes, and I like to be the obedient wife. Sometimes. And so I said, Lord, deliver me from liking to smell coffee and deliver me from coffee. Man, what a tornado. It started down inside of me and I started bringing it up. You don't mind me talking like this, do you? I mean, to cast out in Webster's dictionary means to vomit and give a quick jerk and vomit. So that's the way it was. And I was bringing up foam and froth like happened in Jesus' day. And to this day, I cannot smell coffee perking, and I have not had one withdrawal. I never had one headache, and praise God, Jesus did it. Well, we're going to look at a woman here today. Verse 13 chapter and 11th verse. Behold, there was a woman. Now, women are important in the family of God, or God wouldn't have invented us. We didn't come out of the ground, you know. We weren't made out of dirt, praise God. We were made out of Adam's rib. So there was a woman named Eve, and there was a woman here in Jesus' day, and Jesus is walking along, and this woman had a spirit of infirmity. Well, that's not very unusual. There's a lot of spirits of infirmities around. That means sicknesses, diseases. And she was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. She walked like this. And let me tell you, sisters and brothers, you cannot lift yourself up either with all of these spirits of infirmities and things unless of Jesus, because of Jesus. This woman was bound in her body. She was a daughter of Abraham. The Bible says that. But she was bound in her body. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman. I'm so glad Jesus called to me one day and said, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmities. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise him. Praise him for all the times he's loosed you from your infirmities. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And Jesus laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. Now, this woman is a type of the church. I'm the church. You're the church. This is a building. This is not a church. You're the church. We're the church. And the church needs to be straightened out. Is that right, brother? I have to get this okayed from these theologians over here. But Jesus, when he lays his hands on you, he'll straighten you out. Boy, the things I used to do, I don't do anymore. And every few days, he puts his little hand on, big hand on me, and he says, Irma, that's not right. Stop that. It's not right. I loose you from that. I praise God for his discipline. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. This was a blind ruler operating in the soulish realm, that was for sure. And he was mad because Jesus healed on the Sabbath day. And he said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed. And don't be coming on the Sabbath day. How do you like that? That's what he said. The Lord answered him and said, thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all of his adversaries were ashamed, and all of the people rejoiced, and all the glorious things that were done by him. You know, the people in a lot of churches want to be helped. They want to be delivered. It's the blind leaders that won't let them move on. They can only move. You can only move as far as your pastor moves. If he doesn't move any further, then you won't move any further. And there's a certain realm of blindness in all of us. But I tell you, when the blessed Holy Spirit, when that blessed deliverer comes on the scene and Jesus lays his hands on you, you probably might get thrown out of your church. We did. All we did was come back from a full gospel meeting and tell what happened to people. And they called us up in the middle of the night and said, if you like that full gospel so well, and if you want to mess around with demons, you don't belong in our church anymore. And we were the leaders there. And praise God. We thought we lost all of our friends, and look, we have all of you now. We have friends across this nation and across the world. We have friends in England, Australia, New Zealand, India, Germany, France. Yes, they've been here from France, Norway, Sweden. And I tell you, I wouldn't trade this life. But when it's happening, you know, when you're going through a trial, you can't always see where God's bringing you. You buck against it and you cry and you whine. But that's all right. Jesus knows how to chasten the sons. He knows how to chasten his sons. Now, if you're not being chastened, then maybe you're, well, shall I say it? The Lord said it. You're a bastard. Maybe so. I wanted him to spank me and chasten me and straighten me out. Because, you know, when you're looking at the ground and the carnal nature, you'll never get anywhere in the spirit. You must lift up your eyes to the Son of God. And you must ask for the Holy Spirit to come down in you and fill you. And we'll never be able to help others until we're first helped ourselves. See, we overcome Satan by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Now, I did not know a thing about praying for other people until I came into deliverance. And the Lord has such sovereign ways. I just sit back sometimes and I just think about how we were sitting in that church. We'd been in the Assemblies of God 35 years. My parents were ministers. How we were sitting in that church and we were so blind. And you know, for years I hadn't even spoken in tongues. Well, nobody did there. We were nice. We had beautiful windows and plush seats and big crowds. But we didn't pray in the Spirit and sing in the Spirit like we did here this morning. Wasn't that beautiful? We just sort of went to church. We were churchy. But we weren't spiritual. I certainly wasn't. I was worldly. But we heard about, and I don't know how, in millions of people living in the Los Angeles area, we lived in the San Fernando Valley, I don't know how we ever heard about a meeting, but we heard about a meeting, and I called it. It was in a Filipino church in Pasadena, and when I went in there, it was not a very nice church. In fact, I called it a rat hole church. It was really, the seats were all falling down. It was really, there was about 15 people there, and a man was teaching on deliverance, and that was another eye-opener. But there was a man sitting on the platform just getting over a brain tumor, a preacher. And he'd been healed under this man's ministry, and he was there. And they took down our names and addresses, and in that was in the spring, and in the fall, he came to Los Angeles, or maybe it was in the fall, and went to the Embassy Auditorium, and he held a meeting for 7 weeks. 7 days, but it lasted 7 weeks. Well, I must tell you that I would go along with part of what he said, but then other nights I'd get mad and I wouldn't even go to church. I'd stay home and pout. You know, that was the days we had our big hairdos way up on top, you know, wound up. And it cost a lot of money to get your hair done like that. And he would drink half a glass of water and then he'd just throw it on us. Throw it right on my hair. I didn't like that. That made me angry. I wouldn't go. And I never would go up to let him pray for me. My lad, I stayed like this from the man. He frightened me. But, you know, I didn't know that was the devil in me getting frightened. I would tremble like this. I'd be so fearful. But I thought it was me. I didn't know it was the demons. And that meeting lasted 7 weeks. And the day it was over, next day, he called early in the morning. He said, the Lord told me that he's going to pray for he wants me to pray for five couples, and you're one of the couples. Would you let me come to your house and pray for you? Oh, well, that's good. I like that in the darkness, you know. Nobody see what all was wrong with me. So I got ready for him. He said, I'll be there tomorrow at 9 o'clock. I got up, and we had this real pretty, beautiful home, and I got my beach towel. We had a sunken living room, and the dining room area was up kind of like this, and we had red wool carpet. I got my beach towel, laid it down. I got my clothes back, I put it there. I got paper towels, and I put it there. When I walked in this morning, I saw a paper towel sitting there by her chair, and I said, this is very uncouth, isn't it, really? Paper towels around all over. That I couldn't handle in those days. And I got all ready. And he walked in, he started to laugh. He said, you're ready. I said, yes, I'm ready. I was ready to heave the basket full. How many know God never delivers you like you want to be delivered? He does it like he pleases. So he starts to laugh, and he had a way of touching, putting his hands on your head and applying the power and the fire of the Holy Ghost, and it would run down through you like lightning. And he started calling out these spirits in me. He called out fear and hate and envy and jealousy and Jezebel and hatred toward my husband and blah and blah blah, about 25 things as fast as he could go. And then he started breaking curses over me, curses of death, all kinds of sicknesses. And all of a sudden, that thing came out like a roar, and I didn't vomit one time. Not then. I've done it since. And the Holy Ghost that was down inside of me so deep, he exploded. He come out of me speaking in tongues, interpreting, prophesying, and I was standing like this, and I had my eyes shut. You know, you always pray with your eyes shut, you know. That's the old way of doing it. You don't have to have your eyes shut. You can walk around, drive your car with your eyes wide open and pray. We didn't know that in those days. And I was slinging my arms around like this, and all of a sudden I just chipped him like that, and he fell over like dead. And I thought, oh, my man, my demons have killed him now. I didn't know what was going on. Except the Lord was speaking out of me, that I knew, and it was prophesying over this minister, and we had some beautiful time. Well, as the days went by, you catch on little by little by trial and error. In those days, we had very little teaching. The only ones that was really teaching on deliverance were Dr. Prince and this man and a few unknowns. I'm sure they was around, but we didn't know who they were. But God sovereignly led us into various deliverance ministries where we learned and where we always submitted ourselves for deliverance. I don't mind to be prayed for. I love to be prayed for, because when this load lifts off of you, you feel so good. Amen. And when the Holy Ghost takes that place where those old things were living, then you feel so much powerful. You've got power in your life then. And I remember some guy, I don't know who gave it to me, they gave me an article. It was on the Army of the Lord. Now, Glenn and I we have always been in supervisory positions, and we've really usually worked side by side in all the jobs we had. And so I was reading this article, and it was about the Army of the Lord. You know, what does the general do in the regular army? What does the general do? And then they typed it to what the general does in the God's army. It went right down the line, you know, all the different things, including the CIA. And I got all through, and there was a little thing there you sign. How many have ever signed little things like that? Some kids sign those books, you know, and over there to the devil. That's powerful, those things you sign. So I signed that. And I made my decision. I went over and over it, and I made my decision, and I decided, well, I don't want to be the general, because I'm a woman. But maybe I'd like to be in the CIA. Because she said, the woman that's writing the article, she said, now the CIA, they go behind the enemy lines, they find out how the enemy works, and they come back and tell the regular the rest of the army. So I thought, well, maybe I'd like to join the CIA. So I joined it. I wrote that. Forgot about it, you know, put the article away and forgot about it. I think about 2 weeks went by, and if anything happened pertaining to that in my life, I don't know about. But one day Glenn said, do you want to drive into Hollywood with me? I'm going to the Internal Revenue Office to get some forms. You want to ride? And I said, yeah, and I grabbed my Bible. And we rode up to Hollywood. Now, I was sitting in the car, and it was almost noon. And he was in there for a long time, and they started coming out for lunch. All the secretaries, well, secretarial work, that's right down my alley. So I was just looking at the girls coming out, and they were all dressed regular secretary work, skirt, blouse, black skirt, black pumps. That's what we wore in those days. And here comes a very beautiful girl out, very sedate, straight, walking, trim, well-groomed. She came walking up the street, and I just sat there and was watching her. She got right up even with me, and it was about, the sidewalk was way over there about where that amplifier is. She walked straight over to me, stuck her head in the door, and hissed 3 times like a snake. Well, needless to say, I grabbed my purse, I turned on the ignition, I put up the electric windows, and waited for Glenn to come out. And I had no idea this was part of my CIA work. You know, you can't judge people by how they look. It's what's down inside is how we judge. See, she looked good. She was pretty. She was trim. She was lovely. And, of course, I didn't understand what was going on. I told Glenn, some girl hissed at me. I catch on 2 weeks later. Then, that was in the summertime, spring, late spring. And on Labor Day, we go to do a convention for the Full Gospel at Fresno. We were going to do the tapes and books for them. And it was the year President Reagan was running for the governor, California, governorship. And he was there. He spoke that morning. We had a wonderful service. And they had a main big luncheon for him. And everybody went way around the hotel over on the other side to a big dining room separate from the hotel. And the only ones left in the whole auditorium and outside the auditorium was the convention girl from uptown and myself. And we were talking and just about, I don't know what, and she said to me, will you watch my counter here while I go to the powder room? And she said, now here's a form. You hand them this and you have them fill it out and then you make up their little name card and type it up. Can you do that? And I said, sure. So she left. And it wasn't 2 seconds till I saw way down the ramp. The bar was right across from us, but it was closed down. When we took over conventions in those days, we closed down the bars. They just closed them down because nobody bought any liquor, and they just got mad and closed up. So it was all closed. But I looked down this long ramp, and here walks in a girl. Now, it was about 110 or 15 degrees on Labor Day in Fresno, California. If you've ever been there, you know how hot it is in Fresno. And here walks in a girl. And that was the days before pantsuits had even come on the scene, but she had on purple slacks. She had on a leopard coat, 3/4 length. She had on a chiffon scarf draped around her head, crossed here, hanging clear to the floor, one side. I thought, well, she's coming to open the bar. You know, my old Pentecostal way of thinking. So she walked right up to me and she said, do I register for the Full Gospel here? And I said, yes. And I handed her a little form to fill out. And she wrote on it. I took it and I looked at it. And I couldn't read one word. It was just scratching. I couldn't read even the first letter. And I looked her straight in the eye and I said, what is your name? And so help me, a voice right off of her shoulder said, I'm Jackie. And I looked at her. I was watching her all the time. Her lips didn't move. I said, what did you say? She said, I didn't say anything. I was devastated again. I didn't know what that was. I had to call up my preacher friend in Washington to find out. You know what it was? The spirit of fashion. Jackie Kennedy was leading the spirit of fashion in those days. The very next week, I went to a beauty shop and picked up the Vogue magazine. Her picture was on the front of it in the leopard coat and purple pants and the chiffon thing. And this girl, this spirit made her think she was like Jackie Kennedy, you see. See, fashion is a bad spirit. It really is a bad spirit. Now, I don't mean to run around with... I've served my sentence of fanaticism. When I was 10, 12 years old, I had to have a knot done up on the back of my head. I had to wear... I couldn't take gym because I couldn't wear tennis shoes, because tennis shoes were of the devil, because you had to wear anklets with them. Bobby socks. And they were of the devil. I grew up in that kind. Well, I don't believe in fanaticism anymore. I believe in liberty. But I'm telling you, God began to deal with me in various ways. We began to get Brother Hammond's ministry. I remember the very day Brother Hammond received the baptism of the Holy Spirit one night. The next morning I was at the Denver Convention. I walked in from my book table and just sat down in the back beside a man that was where a seat was open. And John Osteen was on the platform, and he said, there was a Baptist preacher who received the baptism of the Holy Spirit here last night, and I'd like for him to come up. And this man sitting beside me, he took his chair and moved right behind this great big marble post. And I thought, he must be the man. He's trying to hide. And it was Brother Hammond. But we never heard of Brother Hammond, of course. He'd never read Pigs in the Parlor yet. And that afternoon, we had just been to Christ for the Nations. And Derek Prince had been there, and we'd had some real lively deliverance services. And we were there to help him with his books and tapes. And that was before Christ for the Nations was even taping. So, Jesus... For I will pour out of my spirit on whom I will. I have no names. I have no denominations. For I am the denomination. I am thy king and I am thy Lord. And yea, I will pour out upon whomever I see fit to pour out. Judge not the brethren that believes in Jesus. Judge them not. For yea, I shall pour out and sweep through their congregations. And thou shalt be amazed and startled, saith the Lord God. Hallelujah. That afternoon, between services, most everybody was gone. But there was a lady come up. I don't know who she was now. I wish I knew. But she was, I knew her at the time. I mean, I knew her face. And she come up and she wanted to know what we'd been doing. And I told her we'd been to Christ for the Nation. What a wonderful deliverance service is. Derek Prince preached one of the most beautiful sermons I've ever heard, How to Move Further. The Saints in the Inheritance of Light. And we'd had deliverance services every day. And I was telling this woman about it. And I said, you know, we have all the tapes. And she said, well, I'd like to have them. I said, all right, when I get home, you fill out this, and I'll send you a set when I get home. And that was the days of reels. We never heard of a cassette in those days. They had these big reels with everything on the reels. So there was a woman standing over, way over by post, but she was listening, and I was babbling on, you know, on and on about these wonderful meetings and telling this lady. And that was the days when they were starting to say, well, we don't want deliverance in the full gospel, you know. And so I have a certain point of loyalty in me that I know if somebody tells you shouldn't... They had never told me not to talk about deliverance, but I just knew enough I shouldn't be talking, babbling it to everybody, because they were there to get men filled with the Holy Spirit. But there was a woman standing over there, and all of a sudden she caught my eye, and I thought, I better shut my mouth. She might be a director's wife and go turn me in, and I'm peddling... deliverance tapes out here. So I kept quiet, and this other woman walked away, and this woman walked right up to me. Who do you think it was? Ida Mae Hammond. Ida Mae Hammond. But I didn't know it was Ida Mae Hammond. She said, could I have a set of those tapes too? And I said, yes. And I handed her an order blank. And if I would have written out her name, I'd have probably remembered it. But I handed her an order blank, and she wrote it out. And we mailed them a set of tapes. They were in Colorado at the time, snowbound that winter, listening to those tapes over and over, and they came into the deliverance ministry. And I praise God for my babbling tongue. I do praise God. You know, we never know. We never know when we say something to somebody how it's going to affect other people, good or bad. We can affect a lot of people with bad, but we can also affect, because you're all effective witnesses for Jesus. And how he intends to let you witness for him is his way of leading you by the Spirit. And as we are led by the Spirit of God, we are called the sons of God. Romans 8 says that. And the whole creation is waiting for somebody to deliver the creation. I'll never forget at Phoenix, Arizona, a few years ago when Jack Hayford was up preaching and everybody thought he was going to have a healing line. He said, everybody that has anything wrong with you, I want you to very orderly, starting with this row right here, march and come across in front of me. And they started. He never attempted to lay hands on them or anything. I know what I saw, but I don't know what his motive was. And he said, "I'll seat two, please." And they come around. It took about 2 hours The whole congregation probably went by. And I said, Lord, this should not be. Your people should not be sick. Your people should not be maimed and halt and blind and feeble. I said, Lord, what is the answer? And he spoke to me, and the answer is deliverance. You know, you get a splinter in your hand and it festers up. It won't get well till you get the splinter out. And we're not going to get well until we get these things out of us. I call, if demons bodies, call them attitudes then. That's all right with me. I don't care. Call them attitudes. Call it what you want. But this corruption has to come out of us. We have all sinned so much. We've got so much wages of death in us. You know, that's your wages. You sin, you get wages. I get wages when I sin. But we need to get rid of the spirits of death in us. We've had our wages much too long. We've been sick much too long. We are so infirm compared to what we should be. Can you imagine tramping around in the wilderness for 40 years and there wasn't one feeble one among them? They didn't have any swelling of the legs. They didn't have any arthritis. They didn't have any neck ache, back ache, headache, cancer. And we are coming in to that place in God, in divine health. And it's coming through the door of deliverance. I believe that with all of my heart. Now, I may be wrong, but until we're proven wrong, let's just believe that. Because in my own experience, I used to be in hospitals, out of hospitals, in hospitals, out of hospitals. From the day I was born, I was sick. But God has healed me and restored me. And here, it won't be very long till maybe I'll be a great-grandmother. I should be rocking in my rocking chair and making cookies, maybe. But I don't have to do that. I was walking out of the house this morning, and I said, Lord, because just before I walked out of the house, Glenn says, Irma, you can speak this morning. And I said, oh, no. And he was laying in the bed. I was all dressed. He's laying in the bed. He says, pray for me. I'm tired. So I prayed for him and left him sleeping. And I was walking up, and I said to the Lord, really, should grandmothers be casting out demons all the time? What do you think he said? He said, you don't have to act like a grandmother. I will restore your youth. Yea, I will restore thee, saith the Lord. How many wants their youth back? How many want to be younger? How many like to get rid of the wages of sin today? How many like to be delivered from the spirit of death today? How many want to live to walk into the millennium and do the works of Jesus? You want that? How many want that?
Amen.
You want that? How do you think we're going to get it? Through deliverance. Deliverance. If you don't read the word, that cleans you. It convicts you. It'll set you free to a measure. The Bible says you overcome evil by doing good. It's not all casting out people. It's all a little bit of everything. A balance. My, we could cast out demons way out here and be on a limb, and the devil will saw that off, and we'll be wham. It's the gifts of the Spirit in operation, isn't it? It's the power of God in action. It's signs following. It's healing. It's the gifts of the Spirit. It's praying in the Spirit. It's listening to the voice of the Lord. How many people here never hear the voice of the Lord? Let's see your hands. Be honest. Well, how many people hear the voice of the Lord? Praise God. We have to pray for lots of people who never hear the voice of the Lord. But we need more of Jesus. We need more of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you've got, suppose you're 80% filled with God, filled with the Holy Spirit and holiness. You've got 20% in there of the enemy. So he holds you. He can't thwart you all the way because you've got something powerful in you, but he holds you. How many feel you're held back in a way today? You're not all together. You can't walk into a hospital and clean out a whole floor. Everybody walk away healed. Dr. Price used to tell us that all the time. My mother was healed in Dr. Price's meeting, and he used to say, laymen in the last days will walk in hospitals and nobody will ever know them, and people will walk away healed and they won't even know who did it. Now, you see, until we get everything bad out of us, God can't give us that kind of an anointing and that kind of power. You know why? Because Brother Shockley and I, if we walked in the hospital and cleaned it all out, by tonight we'd have a parade and we'd be waving, going down the streets, look what we did. See, we got to get rid of self. We got to get rid of our carnal nature. Then he'll give us that power and authority that we're seeking, that we want. But today, I believe, it's getting late, but in 15, 17 minutes or longer, we can do an awful lot for the Lord. Now, if you're really sincere, you want to get rid of the death in you. You want to walk in life. You want resurrection life in you. Do you want it? Say amen louder.
Amen.
Amen. All right, we're going to move into that realm right now. Let's pray. You know, repentance isn't out of style. It's not out of style. I want you to pray after me. Dear Father, we sincerely come in the name of Jesus. We come for deliverance today from the spirit of death. We ask you to forgive us for all the sins we've committed that we've never repented of. Our carnal nature. For looking to people instead of you. For being envious. For being sick. Cleanse us by your precious blood. Deliver us, Lord. We cry out today. Deliver us from all evil. We're asking you to get rid of our wages today that Satan has given us, because he is a destroyer. He wants to kill us. But we want to live, Lord. We want to walk in your image and do your will and be led by your spirit. And Lord, we want to be able to heal people and bind up the brokenhearted ones and heal the maimed and the blind. We want our ears open to your voice. We want our spiritual eyes open to see. Lord, we want to see the angels. We want to see the demons. We want to see your face, Jesus. And Father, we want to come into the Holy of Holies with you. Experientially. And you say the pure in heart can see you, Lord. And we want that, Jesus. More than anything. So today we're asking for you to get rid of this death in us. Lord, the battle is yours. And only you in us can give us that authority. And we ask for that authority today. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. It is your name that's above every name. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We bind the spirit of death and we command you to come out of these people. They don't want their wages anymore. They don't want sickness and death in them. In Jesus' name, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on out. That's right. Let them go. Breathe them out. Breathe them out. They're evil. Get rid of death in Jesus' name. Come out, death, in Jesus' name. That's right. Come on out in Jesus' name. Obey. Obey. We have authority over you. Come out, spirits of death. Spirits of death, come out of these people in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Patty, I think we need some. In Jesus' name. Come on out. Cancers of death, spirits, curses of death, I break your power over these people in Jesus' name. Curses of death, come out. Come out of her in Jesus' name. 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 Glenn, would you pray for this couple over there pink in the pink sweater and the man, please? Come on. Stay in the spirit now. Just stay in the spirit. Spirit of death, come out of her in Jesus' name. Come out of her. Breathe it out, honey. Let it go in Jesus' name. Hate that death. The wages of sin is death. Get rid of it in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out of her in Jesus' name. Lay your hand on her, honey. Lay your hand on her. The power of God's been on her all morning. Lay your hand on one another. Cancer, come out. Tuberculosis, come out. Emphysema, come out in Jesus' name. Emphysema, come out in Jesus' name. Powers of death, come out of these people in Jesus' name. Come out of them in Jesus' name. Curses of death, come out of them. They want to live. They want to live. They want resurrection life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Spirits of death. Spirits and curses of death, come out of these people in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Curses of death. Insanity, come out of these people in Jesus' name. Schizophrenia, come out in Jesus' name. Schizophrenia, come out in Jesus' name. Death, come out. Insanity, come out in Jesus' name. If you see somebody manifesting, lay your hands on. You got power. You got Jesus in you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I praise you, Lord. 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 Spirit of viruses, spirit of pneumonia and cold, I break your power over these people, and I command you to come out and leave them in Jesus' name. Leave them in Jesus' name. Leave them in Jesus' name. Frankie, would you pray for her, please? Lady right here. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, schizophrenia, insanity, come out in Jesus' name. Double-mindedness, come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. You are defeated. We have victory over you. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out of this boy in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, come out of this boy. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out of this boy in Jesus' name. Come out of this boy in Jesus' name. Curses of death. Curses of rejection. Come out, rejection, out of these people. Torment, unforgiveness. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Rejection, come out of her in Jesus' name. Spirits of rejection, come out of her. Breathe it out. Breathe it out. Breathe it out. Let it go. Let it go. Hate it. Hate it in Jesus' name. Come out of her. Come out, death. Come out. Curse of death. Curse of accident. Come out of her in Jesus' name. Curse of accident, come out in Jesus' name. Lucifer from accidents in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. She has victory over you. She hates you. Death, come off of her now. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Nina, come and pray for her with you. In Jesus' name. Curses of death. Curses of accident. Come out of her in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Both feet on the floor. Witchcraft, come out of her in Jesus' name. Rebellion, come out in Jesus' name. Rebellion, come out in Jesus' name. Insanity, come out in Jesus' name. Jezebel, come out in Jesus' name. 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 Come out, death, in Jesus' name. Wages of death, come out. Wages of sin, come out in Jesus' name. Come out, death. Come out, curse of death. Powers of death, come out of them. Let them walk in resurrection life in perfect health. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out of her, both feet on the floor. In Jesus' name, come out of her, death. Come out all of her wages that she sinned. Come out in Jesus' name. She'll walk in resurrection life, Satan. You can't hold her any longer. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, death, out of him in Jesus' name. Come out, death, in Jesus' name. Come out, death, in Jesus' name. Come out, death, in Jesus' name. Come out, 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 in Jesus' name. Let's just all pray in the spirit now. Kundalia Bakusandala Bakundalia Sitaliandala Bakusandala Bandoria Kundalia Masandala Bandoria Kulia Makusandala Bandoria Ilia Makusandala Bakoria Milia Sitaliandala Bakoria Milia Ilia Makusandala Bandoria Ilia Makusandala Bakundalia Sandala Bandoria Kulia Makusandala Bandoria. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. 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 Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Just pray in the Spirit. See, the anointing comes and then it lifts. We use up all of the power, so you pray in the Spirit and you get more power again. Generate yourself. Breathe in the Holy Spirit. Drink it in. He said, come to me and drink. Drink in now. Fill up all that area that was cleaned out a while ago.
Thank you, Father.
Drink in. Drink in of the Holy Ghost and the fire. Take it in. Speak in tongues. That's right. Generate your battery again. Get refilled. Pray loud. I can't hear you. Louder. Let Satan hear you praying in tongues. He don't like that at all. Make him angry. Come out, witchcraft, in Jesus' name. Come out, for 10 generations back in her heritage, I break your curse over her in Jesus' name. I break your curse over her in Jesus' name. Leave it out, honey. It's like having a baby. You got to work at it a little. Not level. Way down. Way down. In Jesus' name. Come out of her. Come out of her now. In Jesus' name. Pop it up. Let it go.
Come on.
Hate it. Hate it. Hate it.
In Jesus' name. Come out of her. Come out of her.
Come on.
Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. 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 Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. The Lord rebukes you, Satan. The Lord rebukes you. It is written. We have power and authority over you. The Lord rebukes you. The Lord rebukes you. It is written, Satan. The Lord rebukes you. He gives us power over you. You come out of her now. Right now. That's right. Right now. Right now, you come out of her. The Lord rebukes you. The Lord rebukes you. The Lord rebukes you. The Lord rebukes you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. The Lord rebukes you. Satan, it is written. The Lord rebukes you. You come out of him. Praise the Lord. Piano. Let's stay right in the spirit. Where's that cherub that sang up here? Come up here, honey. Let's sing. We're going to sing in the name of Jesus. Does anybody here have any doubts that there is a devil? Does anybody have any doubts that there is really a devil? We want to get you delivered from the spirit of doubt if there is. How many know we are victorious? We are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.